we're thinking about it. So there you go. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, we're going to give the mic over to Al to open us up and get us started. And thank you, Al.
You're welcome.
Claudia mentioned hospital ships or mercy ships. I was in the Vietnam War, and my home base, our base camp, was on the coast. And part of our job there was to prevent an invasion by the sea. But I could see the mercy ships from where I lived and where I worked when I was in base camp. They're painted white with a giant red cross, and the helicopters bring wounded back and forth for treatment on those ships. And I remember it was just, I could see them in the first light morning. They kind of glowed out there on the South China Sea. Pure white, stark white, bright white, with a big red cross, and helicopters buzzing around like locusts or grasshoppers or flying scorpions or something. Anyway, the mercy ships. There were two of them, and they rotated ports. I was in Cameron Bay. They rotated from Cameron Bay to Da Nang, down further south to Vung Tau, and even off of North Vietnam to minister and help the pilots if there were any shot down over there. So mercy ships mean a lot to me. I was never on one, but I did go on one boat. The small boats are called sampans. And one of my other jobs was to escort with my squad to escort doctors and nurses out to the islands and the remote villages. And so we would be on boats, sampans, piloted by a little Vietnamese guy standing in back like the gondoliers in Italy. That's the way they did that. So I remember that too, out at sea. And we have a doctor with us this morning. We call her Dr. Dorothy. That's not really her first name. Her first name's Dorothy. But she's earned that privilege and that honor through hard work and many hours in class and many years being educated to become a medical professional. So we have Dr. Dorothy. And Claudia's here. Claudia is part of our family, too. We kind of put two words together, the farm family, we used to refer to it, and then we just put them together. It's a farmily. So Claudia is part of that. Dr. Dorothy and her husband are now part of that. His better half is here. Dorothy's here with us in back, right back there. So welcome to Dorothy, actually living here as part of the farm family, farmily. Maria's here, and baby Ben is here. Toby's here. Maria is just a lovely kid. I noticed when I came in she had a black olive on her finger and she was chewing on it. I hope she didn't bite her finger off. But our kids used to do the same thing. Thanksgiving meant olives on fingers. So we usually start off with the Danny joke, but Danny's not here. But I've kind of caught the bug from Danny at times. It comes to the surface. And so I have a Sarah joke. Sarah's not here, but I'm sure she'll hear about it. Knock, knock. Sarah. Sarah, reason you're not laughing at this joke? See, there it is. Okay. Danny and Rhonda and others are a lot of our family is ministering now today in Heston, Kansas. They're learning at the same time. They're blessing others, and so they're carrying this ministry kind of in a way to Heston, Kansas, where Mim's family lives. Mim went with them, and she's visiting with her family, looking at a facility she might go to if she chooses to leave here. So pray for that in your many prayers. Put that on your prayer list, please, that Mim decides what is God's will and sees God's will and decides to go along with that. Because there comes a time when the care that we give here is too much, that we can't really do that, both legally and medically and actually physically. We just don't have facilities to do some of those things. And so everybody doesn't fit here. But Mim has fit and made a place for her, and we actually get to live in Mim's house. And we can hear her if she falls. She's never fallen since we've been there, but we can hear the wheels rolling up there. She uses a rollator now. to move around safely. And so we can hear that, and we're there if she needs something. Cindy and I go up to visit. We go up to start her car so it doesn't discharge and the battery dies and things like that. Mim doesn't need a lot of help, but sometimes she just needs help. And Cindy is there for the bathing and assistance that Mim needs in that way. I can pick her up, but not by myself. But she's never has fallen since we've been there. So we've been blessed in that way. So pray for Mim to be in God's will about her living arrangements. And I'm sure if you have prayer needs, we can bring those up. There will be time to testify later and bring those up. And so we welcome all of you this morning. Betsy is here, mother to many of our residents, grandmother to many of our residents, mother-in-law to many of our residents. I'm not old enough to be her mother or father, but anyway, brother maybe. Anyway, we got to minister to some of Betsy and Tom's kids over the years, and now Betsy is here with us visiting her family back there with baby Maria and baby Ben, big girl Maria. Welcome to Todd and his kiddos. There's Z back there and Janaea. They are here. Welcome, welcome. And Chanel is here. I don't see Brenda, but she's around someplace. I saw early this morning, I saw Celeste moving to open the chickens. Celeste and Kelly were doing chickens this morning, and I saw that going on. There's always things happening here on the farm. Somebody's up and moving most of the time. I'm up at 4, and I see lights on all over the farm. So there are people up and going. I see lights when I'm out at 10:30 at night. And so I don't know if they're up, but their lights are on. So that's good. Somebody's home, the lights should be on. So good morning, good morning, good morning. And we'll get started here in just a minute. Cindy's going to have some prayer needs, put some prayer needs before you. But as I said, the Heston group needs prayer. And so I ask you to pray for them and pray for them to make a decision and the prayer needs that have been brought forth already out there. So remember those. Celeste.
Well, I've heard two different things. One was Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And then I also heard Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. So either way, we're just praying for the whole thing. So I'm not sure which is accurate. She has her phone off, and I wouldn't bother. I'm tempted to bother, but Yeah, I think that's the end. Yeah. Are you ready for me? Okay, so I just wanted to bring before you the need to cover them with prayer. You know, as some of us knew, they had trouble with their brakes on the way and got there safely, and I'm sure that someone there is going to be pitching in to help get that solved so they can get home. But yeah, Rhonda has, she didn't tell me the details of her message. Basically, it's, how low are you willing to go? How low are we willing to go? And then the Lord came through with this today. But she said it's a hard message. She warned Scott that it was a hard message. And so she's asked for a lot of, you know, support. Because it's hard to deliver those things that the Lord puts in your heart. And over the years, I think most of us know, Rhonda's had quite a few hard messages to deliver. We're in a difficult, perilous time in the world and in the church. And we just really want to cover them and her intercessors who are there. Cindy Grove and Deborah Kay, who's visiting from Idaho. I can't pronounce her last name. I think it's some kind of Czechoslovakian name. But anyway, it starts with a K, so she's Deborah Kay. And then Sally and Suzanne. Mim is there to visit her family to check out the place that she believes the Lord's sending her to, but also as an intercessor, very powerful intercessors. We are powerful intercessors, you know, if we choose to be, to go that direction. Some people are gifted that way, but all of us are to intercede as you've, you know, requested that we do that. So even though we don't know all the details and all the circumstances, it's a message for those people in that place, and it's also a message for the church. because the Lord is always, I think always has layers to what he does and his word. So we want to pray for them, keep them in prayer. Fred and Barb, of course, have had a very difficult time. It's gone on for quite a while. As we all know, Barb's cognition has been declining over the years, and it's gotten to the point that it's really difficult. Fred's done an amazing job serving his wife. Just day in, day out, it's a 24-hour thing, and he's been able to do that. But she's, after this most recent fall, has not been able to, he's not able to take care of her anymore. So yesterday they went back to the hospital in Lee Summit, and she's being evaluated, and they're hoping to find an opening for her here in Holden. But the hospitals are really good at working together with the local nursing homes and care places. They know who's who and can know what the requirements are and where she can get the best help. But it's a heartbreaking thing for Fred to have to choose to do, to acknowledge that he's not able to do that anymore. He's not a young man either. You know, it's we're all the same age. He and I now are pretty much the same age. So I just know how difficult that would be. So just want to lift them up. Healing for Barb. Always ask for a miracle. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking for a miracle of healing to take place in her brain. Her spirit is still active. And I know that because when she fell, and you know, it's always chaotic when those things are going on. And there was a fair level of chaos going on. But when I got there, Sally was down on the concrete with her face on the concrete, right face to face with Barb, praying for her and speaking to her, speaking life into her as though she could understand every word. And Barb calmed down. You know, she calmed down. So calling her spirit to attention, it helps. It's life-giving. It's a real thing. It's not a, even though we can't see it, you know, the things that are eternal, we really can't see. And so we get so caught up in what's physical. That it's, but Sally has that gift, you know, of intercession. She was just right down there, like this far from Barb's face, just speaking life into her. And so Barb calmed down, you know. And so so we are spirit to spirit, and we can pray to Barb's spirit. We can speak to her spirit and bless it. You know, we don't have authority to call it to attention. And I'm not sure how that works when the person can't give you permission, so. But we do have all authority to bless her. We are part of the priesthood, and I'm going to share a little bit about the priesthood later. Colleen?
I asked Arthur Burke about that because the people I was talking to were asleep.
Mm-hmm.
He said, all you have to do is introduce yourself and invite them to listen if they'd like.
Right, right. But in that, I mean, but I guess what I'm saying is we don't take authority over them.
No.
You know, we invite them. And then we just, you know, go with what we feel like the Lord's having us do. I asked him that about my
a person in my family one time who had not, he said, if they've ever asked you for prayer, then I take that and use that as permission because they've asked for prayer. And so, you know, we all go to the Lord and say, is that right or not? So I agree. We just get to invite him to come and listen. And Barb is listening. So so she's on our list. And also, I just was praying this morning and asking the Lord, because we each of us probably in our families or in our lives, we have situations that can't be shared for confidentiality reasons or just to respect somebody's privacy or to not uncover them publicly. But so I was asking the Lord about that. And he said, just gather all those people together when you pray for me or when you pray to me. I know who they are, you know, and I don't need to share widespread information that shouldn't be shared yet. Maybe the day will come, but I think we all have those situations where we know somebody who needs prayer desperately, but knowing the situation isn't always necessary. We just bring them before the Lord, just like you did with those people. You know, you don't know where they are really with the Lord, but he does, you know, and obviously they have need, or they wouldn't have been in your hands. Yes?
And they would wake up different.
Different. I believe that.
I mean, joyful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's great. So
for today, we just want to bring all those people that we know and the people that are not known but are known to the Lord, whatever those personal situations might be. And I just think over all the people that have been to the farm over the years that I know about, and I'm kind of a latecomer to the farm over the whole course of the years, I guess. 10 years is not a long tenure here compared to Dave and Bev and other people that have been part of the farm for so long. But so all those people that are in our minds sometimes, like Nadine, Nadine was just an amazing gift because she lived with us for her first time on the farm. I think she lived with us for almost a year, but I can't remember now. And then she went to live at the TLC house. And so, but she has come to my mind, I can't tell you how many times over the years. She has the biggest mercy heart of anybody I've ever contacted. And her one big connection that she made here that we used to just think was, she thought was hilarious, was with a chicken named Carlos. And he was kind of an impaired rooster, I would say. He wasn't clear about what roostering was. And so she was always trying to hook him up with a hand. And I think there was one that we named Carmelita or something like that because it would go with Carlos. But, you know, she would carry that chicken around and he just would calm down in her arms. And we have a picture. I know Ed has it. We have a couple of pictures of her with that chicken. And eventually he lived his lifespan and went the way of all things. And it was heartbreaking, you know, for her. But, you recognize after a while on the farm that people transfer their love and their woundedness into something that's safe, you know. And she loved that chicken as though it were a person. And she was able to release the love that she had towards something. And that helps open us up to the love of the Lord. So it sounds silly sometimes, but we've seen that happen over and over here where people connect to an animal and love that. And it gives them an outlet for the love. It starts a flow. And so it's not silly. And it's not to be, we just want to recognize that as the Lord. So anyway, we have a wonderful message that the Lord has brought to our Pastor Ed. And this has all come about in the last few days, but it's been cooking for a while, I believe. His dropping this into us has been cooking for a while. So we want to listen to him and listen to the Lord speak through Ed. And then I'm going to share a couple of things and we're going to invite people to, or whatever the order is. Ed knows the order. Anyway, so.
Thanks, honey. Honey is one of the things we get to have here on the farm. Cassandra is one of the beekeepers and others take part. At one time or another, I think almost all of us have taken part in the bee culture. So we learned how to be sweet from the honey that they produce and bring to our homes. It's delivered right to our house. Will brought our honey this year. Here's your honey, honey. And Cindy mentioned the rooster that didn't know what he was supposed to be doing. Well, when they age out like that, Yahweh doesn't waste anything in his creation, and we don't waste anything here on the farm. A lot of the things are turned back into compost when a rooster ages out or doesn't do what roosters do. We just have them as a guest for dinner right here on the farm. We call it harvest. So this is harvest season. They're harvesting potatoes. They're harvesting sweet potatoes, okra, almost every vegetable you can name, tomatoes, potatoes. Oh, potatoes has already been mentioned. Anyway, we're eating pretty good this time of year. So here comes Ed when he's ready. Whenever Ed's ready, come on, you ready? This is your time. Pardon? Praying for us. Okay. Welcome, Laura, and Dee is coming back. Cindy mentioned Nadine. She was one of my favorite residents, too. And we had some interesting times together with Nadine. She has a different sense of humor and love for animals. In those days, there was a rule or guideline that the residents had to surrender their phones. So Nadine came to us as a resident for healing and ministry, and she lived in our house, and so she would surrender her phone. So it wasn't a distraction. But there's a privilege on Sunday. She could call anyone she wanted to in her family that was clear and that she really, that she wanted to. She didn't have to talk to anybody. She didn't have to, but they had this privilege of an hour a week on the phone to family. She called her dog and talked to the dog. And it was really sweet. She talked to some of the people, too. I think the dog lived with her sister or somebody close, friend. And she would talk to the dog for a good part of that hour. And it was Albert was his name. Really sweet. She's a very sweet lady. And Aaron is here now. Aaron's her husband, and she has a husband now. And Aaron is here with us for a while, and we'll see what Yahweh does with that. Put him on your prayer list. And Nadine, too. They're family people now. Part of the family. Okay. Lord, we come before you as we open this time together on Shabbat, the Sabbath that we honor, Lord. This is your day, the Lord's day, Shabbat, the Sabbath. And we say Shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word for peace. It's the peace that passes understanding described in the Bible, and that's the best description I can think of. It comes directly from Yahweh through Yeshua to his people, and it's the peace that passes understanding. We can't understand how we can have that kind of peace, but Yahweh gives it freely. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord Yeshua, for giving us that peace, that shalom, Shabbat shalom, peace on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath day, your peace, O Lord. We pray that you put it into each one of us and those who are not here but ministering elsewhere. We pray your shalom peace over them and your shalom peace, Lord God, over this gathering today. In your name we pray, Yeshua. Amen. Come on down.
Thanks, Al. Thanks, Cindy. That's beautiful. Well, I'm also going to just say, Yahweh, we just look forward to all you have. Surrendering my life to you, surrendering my words to you. Holy Spirit, you just do in me whatever it is that you would have us to say or speak, and all of us to be able to hear from you and respond accordingly. Yeshua, we praise you, give you all glory and honor. Amen. Well, it's interesting how things take... Oh, Laura! My friend Laura's here. I'm doing good. Laura would like to come and say, of course you can. That's the beauty of this body. We're family. You're part of our family. Laura and I have a funny thing that I don't know how it started, but the Lord did it, Laura. I just want you to know that. That was all the Lord.
Yep.
I just one day, like I just looked over and I go, Laura! Laura's here, you know, and so she and I just started going back and forth. How you doing? So I've just been really enjoying just seeing you. I just bless you and I'm glad you're here. Praise Yahweh.
I just wanted to tell you guys, I'm supposed to be somewhere about 11:30 today, but I was just thinking that I wanted to tell you guys that I appreciate you so much. Because I'm in a war zone. This is my base camp. And you guys have lifted me up, edified me to the point where I can go and be a light in the darkness again. Because I had lost that. I think I still had it, but it was like barely burning. And I just want to thank you so much, my house sisters. My house leaders, Cindy Y, thank you. Celeste, thank you in the garden. Colleen, for getting me here. For friendship. For you and our little East Coast thing we got going on. Thank you. And so I just wanted to tell you guys that I covet your prayers and appreciate them. and I'm going out there again. And it's not, it's my husband is amazing. He's a wonderful man of God. I thank God for him so much, and he's in ministry too, and he's also in a war zone. So, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yahweh, we just lift up Laura. We thank you for her life. May I put my hand on your shoulder? Yeah. Father, we just thank you for Laura. We ask you, Lord, that you would just bless her in her going out and her coming in. Thank you, Father, for sending angels on assignment over her, her husband, her family, her finances, everything that are that's heavy on her heart, Lord, all concerns, anything that's coming in that's trying to attack, steal, kill, or destroy. We just we rebuke. We ask you, Father, that you would do with it as you will. We ask you, Lord, that she would put on the full armor of Christ, that she would be covered from head to toe, and, Lord, that no weapon formed against her would prosper. Thank you, Lord, that you have ordained her steps and that all things work together for good for those who are in Christ Yeshua and called according to his purposes and plans. And as you surrender your day and your life each moment, we just ask you, Lord, that you would just bless that surrender, that faith move that you come, and that you come and you dwell under the wings of the Most High, that under his wings you take refuge, Lord, and we bless that. We know that he is good and he has you in his hands and in his care. We praise you, Yahweh, for this mighty woman of God, and everything that you have and every word that comes out of her mouth will actually put fear into the enemy's camp because of no fear in her of the enemy, God, that we just bless you with the power and strength of the might of the Most High God, and we say this in Yeshua's name over her. Amen. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, sister. Oh, thank you so much, Laura, for that. That was a gift and a blessing to us as well, to be able to come alongside our sister. And, you know, we are this body in Christ. And you know something? Every one of our lives matter, and they matter greatly. When we think for a minute that, what am I doing, or, you know, what's my day, or what's it? No. There's every single second, you matter. Every minute you're here, you matter. Every single minute, every one of us is here, we matter. And what you do, God sees it. Sometimes you do it quietly and humbly, and nobody, you know, we're not lifted up, and we're not exalted, and we're not whatever. But that's not the point. As Ron and I, Suzanne had told me, she said, "Hey, honey, Cindy, why might be reaching out to you, you know, praying about what's going to happen this weekend. Shall we have gathering or not? You know, that kind of thing." And then Cindy and I communicated yesterday, and we were the day before, and we were saying, let's just wait on the Lord and let's see what the Lord says. And we're going to, with Al and Cindy, invited them, let's just be prayerful and ask the Lord. And in the morning, I was having some FaceTime with the Lord, and I remember asking him, or he actually reminded me, who are you? Who are you? What is your identity? Because our identity matters. And what Laura just spoke of really honestly has everything to do with knowing who we are as you walk out that door and you go into the battlefields, in the workplace, in the you know, doing what you do, everywhere we go, whatever we do, that the Lord has your name written in his book. And within that name, there's something much deeper within it. And he says, chase. And it's not just chase. Chase, mighty warrior, defender. God has put that in you. There's something he's put in you, defender and a warrior. And, you know, every one of us has a name, and God has put it in you. And he loves you just the way you are. He's not asking you to be this person. I'm not supposed to be Cindy or Alec. I'm supposed to be me. So what the Lord showed me when I was going, okay, Lord, do we meet or do we not? And he asked me, he said, what does your name mean? And I said, okay, Edward. And it means faithful steward, faithful shepherd, faithful guardian, faithful friend, faithful. And so I was like, And just kind of silent for a minute there. And I was going, what does that mean? Well, there's stewardship and there's understanding of calling. And so I went real quickly, just real deep, like, Lord, what is my calling? Come alongside this ministry and what they are doing, whatever Rhonda is doing, Danny's doing, what Suzanne, what they're out doing, that's the calling that the Lord has put on my heart. So I conveyed that to Cindy, and I said, if you agree, this is what I feel. And she said, Alan, I agree. You know, move we're moving forward. Let's do it. And so that's how we're here today. So laying that groundwork of understanding is that we don't just show up when we come here to bring whatever the Lord has. He has something with it. And I don't know what it is, in all honesty. I got something because instantly I had sent out a text message to Rhonda. I said, Rhonda, we want to come alongside your heart of what you're going to be sharing on. So if you wouldn't mind, would you give me either a scripture, a word, a title, anything that we might be able to come alongside you as you're out there doing what you're doing, that we would also stay united to come under your authority as well, and to stay united as the body. And so she texted me, literally, this is all she texted me, abide, fall in love, and get low. And before she texted me, in between that time, I don't know if I heard it or felt it or whatever, but anyway, something came over me. And the word was, what does it mean to have the heart of David? What does it mean to have the heart of David? And I shared that with Cindy and Al, and I was like, I know something about that, but I don't know whatever the Lord has, and I still don't know. So we'll see what the Lord opens up. But here's why. Suzanne and I were invited by Andrew, who is our resident, to come and invited to us to go. So a group of us went down to Branson, and we watched the David Sight and Sound. And it was pretty special, and it actually really spoke to me. And it affected me in the understanding of this mighty Yahweh, this God we serve, that it isn't about mighty David. It wasn't about all of the feats and all of the battles and all of the crowns he acquired and all of that and all the gold, and because they took the plunder and they stored it up in the houses and they took all of this. And in the end, what did it lead him to? It led him to being high up in the palace from a perspective where he could see down on something that caused him to go into sin. And it created an environment where he had more liberty to command people and to call upon things, and stress came with it, and anxiety, and you know, all that came with more. And so in that place, he then went into the place of terrible despair, where he did the things that he did, which we won't even mention. Don't even need to, because we all know it. Wasn't good. And even to the extent that I will mention, kill a person over it to hide my sin. That's the depth of which David went to. Now, how does this fit in? Abide, fall in love, and get low? Well, it had me just in complete awe of David. Because what I'm seeing is, to be haughty and to get in that place of the height of ourselves, what is our own exaltation? What is our own place of where we lift ourselves up to a place where we lose sight of what's important? What is it that's most important? Our relationship, this place where Yahweh, have in me, do your will, speak into me whatever you would have me to speak. Be my God and be my King, be my Lord and my Savior, Lord and Savior. And in that place where we are caught up in the minute of the day, or caught up in what's wrong with this person or that person or myself or whatever, you just name it. The getting caught, I wrote a text to Danny and I got caught up. I told him, I apologize, Danny. I shouldn't have sent you, involved you in this matter. There was a matter that came up. And he came back with a real simple answer. And then I said, you know what? I apologize, Danny. I got caught up in the thick of thin things. And how often do we get caught up in the thick of thin things? When you really look at it from an eternal perspective, falling in love and getting low is to cover. There's a scripture that I was sharing with Andrew, and it says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings is to search it out. And that keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. And you think about it, when you have authority in whatever measure you have authority, and every one of us does, what do you do with it when someone fails, someone falls short, someone whatever, offends, someone whatever? Do I conceal it or do I reveal it? Do I repeat a matter amongst close friends? do I, you know, where is the sin in my heart? Where is the place where I've exalted myself as being something that I'm not? Anything good that I have is only called good if it's God, because all the things that I do aren't going to matter. Like I was asking the Lord, we were out on the boat. God blessed us with time away after that that sight and sound event. And Suzanne and I were out on the boat, and she was sleeping. She was napping in the back of the boat, and I'm fishing. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm asking the Lord. I'm going, you know, Lord, as I'm reflecting back, I'm having thoughts of things of the past, you know. Imagine David. Imagine how he had thoughts of the things of the past, right, that could have defined him. And if we stay in that place of self-pity, they will define you, not as Christ has defined you. But if we stand on the cross of Christ and say, Jesus, you died for those sins, so now I humble myself enough to not go into self-pity, but to go, but you, God, are mighty in my life, and you, God, are the one who cleans me up, and you send me out for battle. Anyhow, I'm fishing, and I'm thinking about the things that I had done. Like, all of a sudden, some things came up, and I was like, oh, my gosh. But then I was thinking about the good things that I've done. And I'm like, well, you know, but, and you can, like, you go through this stuff, and it wasn't even like that. It was more like just going through thoughts, and I'm casting out a line, I'm reeling it in, casting out, and I'm thinking about things, and then I asked him, I said, wow, Lord, I really wonder, when we get before you, like, how much of it, honestly, just chaff, just burned up chaff, even the good stuff, like, I mean, good, but you know, it's like, wow, Lord. And I'm not saying like I got into self-pity or anything, but I was like just being real and going, you know, so Lord, may my life and my words and everything I do in every condition of my heart glorify you, because it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. It's like, wow, where was my heart in this? You know, what have I been doing? You know, Lord, condition of my heart to come in low, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you'd be exalted, that I wouldn't be seen, that I wouldn't be appreciated, that I wouldn't be, you know, those things where all that can come in. And you know, it's not every day, it's not all the time, but when it does come in, it sure doesn't bring you to a place of peace, and it sure doesn't bring you to a place of coming in alignment with what he has and who you're called to. So then I refer back to, while I was on the boat, I was remembering who I am. Who does God say I am? And then, wait a minute. No, this is who I am today, and this is who I will be tomorrow. And this is who I proclaim myself to be in the finished work that you will do, God, over me in the days ahead, that I might glorify you more and more as I become less, that we would surrender our lives, that we would die to self, die to the places where something happens throughout the day that's not according to plan. And when it's not according to plan, how will I respond? Will I go, oh, grace, grace? Or will I go, you know, inside? And I don't have this, guys. I'm not saying I've got this, and it's not about an I thing. This is about a we thing. We all have it. We all have it. It's called sin. It's called flesh. And yet we can bring it into alignment with Christ. The Lord has given us. He said that there is no sin that has overtaken you to the point of even bleeding. That, like, you can resist, not even to the point of, like, bleeding, that the Lord would actually be there for you, to help you to overcome those things and to take every thought captive to be in alignment with the mind of Christ, with his will. And so, anyhow, that being said, when I was reading, so I was reading in 2 Samuel. Well, I was reading a lot of things. And, yeah, 2 Samuel. Now, keep in mind, all that we spoke of with David, and I have barely scratched the surface of David's sin. This is not like about an expose supposed to be about his sin, but yet when I read this in 2 Samuel chapter 22, and let's see here. Yeah, chapter 22. I'm going to go ahead and read the verses, though, that I'm going to focus on are 21 through 25. But the setup of this was like, okay, you know, I can follow this. This is awesome. Then all of a sudden I got to this other part when I'm in 21 through 25 where I'm like, wait. Scratch, stop, time out. I'll read to you and we'll get there, okay? So I'm just going to start at the beginning. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust. This is from Psalm 18, of course, right? Same thing. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken. Because he was angry, smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the seas were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies, from those who hated me. For they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. All of this I could relate to as I read through all the battles that he just came over with Saul trying to kill him and then the Amalekites, and on it goes, right? All the battles and all the things that the Lord did for him. I was relating, going, yeah, that's right. Then he says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people. But your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. I'm going to pause right there. The word of the Lord is proven. This is David speaking. Remind you, all of this, like I said, I paused for a second after verse 25, and I'm just going, wait a minute. He's proclaiming, I'm going to read that one more time. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. For he has recompensed me. I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and for his statutes I did not depart from him. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. And that part just really struck me. In his eyes. When the Lord says that your sins are as far as the east is taken from the west, let us not glory in the sin we did or our past. Let us stay low. And what is it to be? You know, we think it's humility to talk about how bad I was. That's not humility. Humility is actually getting low and falling in love with God, that under his wings that we abide and we take refuge. There's a place of low calling that is exalting him. It doesn't matter. Our past is just that. When we're in Christ, when we ask, Lord, forgive me for those sins, then we come in low and we go, God, you know, in Psalm, this here, I'm going to show you Psalm. It's one of the Psalms okay, so think about this, that how the Lord, much of which what we just read, he wrote Psalms of, and these Psalms are strength for our bones. I had wrote in here in Psalm 30, my psalm, my story. And I put a date in there, 1999. And what had happened in 1999, we're not going to give glory to, but I'll give glory to the one who did what he did to clear and clean everything up because of the cross of Yeshua. And this is it right here. He said, I will extol you, Psalm 30. I will extol you or exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. This is humility, you guys. This is humbleness. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. This is coming in low. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave where I was destined to go. Some say Sheol in there. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Once again, singing praise and giving glory to God, that's humbleness, that's humility, that's that place of coming in low, that we can exalt his name. And give thanks to the remembrance of his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that if you have a testimony of any sort, this is our calling. Our calling is to praise him, to declare the truth of who our God is. And that the dust isn't going to praise him, but we can. We can lift our hands and we can say, my God is faithful. My God is just. He is good. And holy is the Lord. And he can do what he can do in me. He can do it in you. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And on he goes with all of these scriptures. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you, in Psalm 31, verse 17. And Psalm 32 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. We can look good on the outside, that place where in him is, in whose spirit there is no deceit. We can, you know, have our hair combed perfectly and our, you know, everything nice and tidy on the outside and everything, but inside be filthy. And the Lord is after the inside. He doesn't care about the outside. He doesn't look at it at all. He doesn't look at it at all. He's going to look at us and say, wow, man, that was a real sharp shirt you wore the other day. No, we're going to get before him and he's going to say, what in your life glorified me? That's it. That's all we're going to have. And I was, Dave and I had a conversation. Dave, do you mind if I share a little bit about our container conversation? Is that okay? You're good with that? Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot here. Well, it's not about this. It's not about Dave or the. It's just the Lord. It's not specific. I don't even be specific. The Lord wants to do something in our relationships that will glorify him. And I had a beautiful conversation with my brother the other day that was so simple. But to me, it was like, that's what the Lord wants with us. Just being Dave. He's just beautiful. Just Dave, just being Dave. And we're on the phone, and I was trying to tell him a location to do some weed eating, and he was like, well, yeah, go on. You know, he was like, yeah, okay, go on. And so I was asking for basically more description of where I'm trying to communicate. And I'm telling him, okay, you know this place, and I use the word container. Okay, so if you use the word container, containers come in sizes that are, well, you can put a Tupperware container, you can do a water jug container, you can do a container that holds a lot of water, or you can do a 40-foot container. You got, you know, Dave's brain is going to all the different containers in the world, probably is going, okay, container. But, and it was so funny because then I'm going, okay, remember? And he's like, go on. And then he goes, you know what? I'm not there yet. Help me here. Nope, I still don't, not there. Like, okay, well, how about, and I tried something else. And he goes, I'm sorry, I'm just not able to see where you're talking about. I said, oh, how about this? And then I showed, he goes, oh, those ones, you mean the big containers? I'm like, yeah, that one is, anyhow, it was just a beautiful, conversation, you know. And we might think of it as, what does that have to do with anything with what we're talking about? What it has to do with is the heart of David. David was humble. He didn't pretend to know where I'm talking about and just go wherever he pleased, or he wanted to help me. He wanted to be my brother. He wanted to come alongside me and stay in the place of I want to know what you would like me to do. So help me help you to get that job done. And that was just so sweet and precious. And basically what that says is, I want to be in relationship with you, and I trust you that I cannot get it, and it's okay, and it's right. It's like, you know what? How many of us have often, you know, oh, yeah, yeah, no problem. Got it, you know. And then, wait, what did he say? What did he do? Oh, well, I'll just, you know, I think he said move the hat over here and put it on this table. Sorry, Al. See, and Al didn't ask me to do that, but I did it anyway. And the point being that we want to just, that place of recognizing that Dave knows who he is. He knows who he is in Christ. If you know who you are in Christ, then you don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to appear as though you got it all together. Or that Dave and I talk about this all the time. He's like, I don't got this. That's beautiful. I pray that we can all stay in that place, and I can stay in that place all the time. Lord, I don't want to think I've got this. I want to know that you have this, because boy, is there great comfort in that, that as we come in and we abide under him and under his wings and under him do we take our refuge. Do we want to be like, yeah, in my, well, my savings account's got it all, on my IRA and my 401k, I'm good, you know, or my whatever it might be, that's there as our safety zone, or in my knowing exactly where you're talking about, Ed, no problem, or I think I know, so that's close enough. It's the place of the heart that the Lord is after, and how do we get there? And it's that place of allowing God to speak into our hearts, allowing him to show me, Lord, where, God, search me. When we pray that prayer and we say that those words and we say it with earnest, he will do it. He's faithful. When you say, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, anything. And he's doing it. He is doing it. He's doing it. And I've been actually just in a place where I'm crying out to him more like, Lord, I really just want to hear your voice more. I want to hear you. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to hear you. I want to just know that I know your will. And I love it that, like Sally, we're out there. It's been so fun. We've been doing the cows and the goats and stuff together more. And I just love Sally. I love it that we're getting ready to do this or that. And she's like, wait. Okay, Lord, Yahweh. And she does it all the time. Like the whole time you're there, she's like, Yeshua, what do you say? And, you know, okay. And we're praying over the cow. And we're, well, do we spray it? Do we not? Do we give him this or do we not? You know, and it's like, oh my gosh, it could be one of those things where it's like, this is over the top. Oh, really? Haughty Ed, what do you know? Wait a minute. Then all of a sudden the Lord shows us something, and suddenly you're like, wow, I would have never even thought to pray for that, or to pray over that little tiny cut on the teat of the cow in the left rear udder, and to pay attention to it and to love on that thing. And you know, that's that place of like, okay, Lord, wow, he wants us to do that in all things, you know, just to invite him and to be able to be in communion with him and to be a part of that life. I was thinking about this just now as I was speaking. I was thinking about like a father with his son, and when a father's with his son and you're going to go fishing, right? And the father is like, hey, Dad, what do you think? Should I use this lure or should I use some live bait, or what would you do in this water here? Wow. What a feeling of communion, a feeling of unity that comes in that place where the sun is low and he doesn't think, I'm going to throw this one on here when really you need this lure here, you know. But he's saying, Father, you know better than I do. And we're in that same opportunity to say, Father, you know better than I do. And so he's inviting us to come in low and to be able to bow ourselves before him. Just one more thing that came up just in the past couple of days. We have a guy that's been working for our company now for Good News Home Improvements for 20 years. He's been with us 20 years. And his name's Brian. And I was talking to Lon, my general manager. Lon called me the day before yesterday and said, "Hey, Ed," I could tell Lon was really not his normal Lon. I was like, "What's going on, buddy?" He's like, "Well, I had a disturbing call from Brian last night." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, it was his birthday. He was playing with his kids. And suddenly, he finds himself in the hospital, and it looks like he might have to have brain surgery. He fell on the cement playing with his boys. And Brian called him in tears. He said he was crying quite a bit. He finally got himself together to talk to me. Now, Brian has, that I know of, resisted the Lord all these days, but we have loved him like a son. We love him. Suzanne and I love him so much. And, you know, he's not, I won't say he's hardened towards the Lord. He's open. I mean, you can pray with him or whatever, but as far as like going, "No, I want what you have. I want that. I want him. I choose him." And so I sent him a text message, and of course, just sharing with him once again, you know, the Lord Jesus and his love for him, and that none of us have certainty of our next step. You're no further from being in the presence of God than I am in an instant. We all can be. And how Jesus died and he rose again, and that there are over 400 people who saw him, and some he actually allowed him to put their hand and fingers in his hand, their hands in his, where his nail holes were, and even one to touch his side where he was pierced for our transgression. And that if you ever want to talk, give me a call, and I won't be convincing you or talking to you about, you know, the message. You have what's called free will. That's the greatest gift God has given us, to choose him and what have you. But I was thinking about how this, Lon and I were having this conversation, and it went from talking about him to, you know, what else is going on, Lon? You know, we have our weekly conversations, business, and he shared some things, and then he said, "But there's one thing, you know, I know you're in a hurry, so you probably..." This was at lunch, you know, yesterday, and he goes, "So..." I said, no, share with me. I said, "Whatever you have." And he said to me, he said, "Well," he goes, "you know," he said very quietly and humbly, actually, he goes, "You know, I've been thinking about something." And this is how our conversations much of the time go. They're rarely about work. We talk a little bit about the details of work, but he goes, "You know what? Here's what I need prayer for. Pray," he goes, "God gives us all talents. How many talents has he given me? What am I doing with those talents?" I was like, "Well, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. That is a heart after the heart of God." I told him, just the fact that you're asking that question says a lot about who you are. And so in this place of abiding in him and being able to come under his wing, come under him, come under his authority, to come under, allowing him to be all in all in all of us, where, Lord, have you given me something to do, whatever it is that you've given to me to do with it? And it doesn't have to be that, like I told Lon, I said, "Lon, it's not just know the difference between doing and being obedient to abide in him, because it's not about what we're doing, if we're doing it unto him. Whatever we do, when we do it unto the Lord, that it will glorify him." And so that just blessed me to hear that, because, I mean, this is the head of our company that's asked going to these depths of, "Search me, oh God," basically, you know, that I want to make sure that I'm doing whatever it is that I've called to do it to the utmost for his highest. Do it to the utmost for his highest. And I was like, "Wow, that is beautiful. You just challenged me to, you know," because what are talents? What are those things in which, you know, we have talents, like as in the talents of, but in this case, it was actually something given to the servants. What has he given us as servants, and what are we to do with it? Do we bury it, or do we give it out freely, and we trust the Lord with it all? And I think that that's a big call of what we're called to, is to be able to be availing ourselves to hear him and then abide in him and do what he's called us to do every bit of our day, that he would allow us to have that opportunity, that freedom, that liberty to have talents, that he's given you position to come here to do whatever he's called you to do each and every day. And that in that, Lord, what am I doing with it? Because it's about the heart again. Am I rotting those talents by my rotten disposition? Or am I watering those talents and helping others to grow their talents? And am I giving what I don't have, but he has it to give? And that place where God's just called me to that. So that was just something that I had and thought of. And, of course, we're, you know, praying for Brian and his wife, Deanna. And there again, if we think to pray for him as well, we can do that sometime. But I also wanted to give glory to God because yesterday morning when they were leaving, Suzanne and I had face-to-face just time and a prayer over her and whatnot. And I was just looking at her, my beautiful bride, and reading her face and just seeing, you know, and just appreciating what the Lord has given me in her and releasing her into the hands of Yahweh, in the hands of Yeshua. That when you send your loved one out and they're gone for 3 or 4 days or whatever, you don't know. You're like, okay, Lord, I don't know. We don't know when we step out the door what's going to happen. And that's true all the time. But in this case, I had this like looking at her and going, you're his. Like I was looking at her and praying over her. And this gift of faith of you're his and I'm his and it's okay. You're going to go out and do whatever he's called you to do, and so be it. What happens is his, and he'll be with us throughout whatever happens. I don't know why I just felt that and just felt like this release, like, wow, rating her. You know, you never know. Will this be the last time I see my bride? And then later, so I was kind of in this intercession of like, Lord, and we prayed, the car, the people, and then we get the message that the brakes went, you know, she said, yeah, we're getting brake fluid, and I'm like, ooh. That's not a good sign. You know, about an hour down the road, they're getting brake fluid. I'm like, why are you getting brake fluid? That doesn't sound like a good, safe deal. And so we just, you know, we were able to pray for them. And Cindy and I and Al were on the phone, and so we prayed for them. But, yeah, I just want to give glory to God and say thank you, Yahweh, for getting them there safely with limited brake power. And but yet he's the braking power. He's our accelerator, and he's our one that can give us the brakes. Anyway, we just thank you, Father. And anyway, just praise the Lord that we can abide in him. We get to fall in love and get low. And David, how did he? So the answer to all that, which I was perplexed at, like, how in the world did he do that? He knows who he is. So I encourage you, find out, if you don't know, who does the Lord say I am? Ask him, who do you say I am? Because David could not say what he said based on his past and his history and the things that he did, that he would say, pure am I, and you know, my transgressions are covered, and that I've walked in my integrity, and I've walked in your ways, and I've done your will, and I've kept purity. Like, huh? What? David? You know, do you remember? No, I don't need to remember. I know who it is who says what he says over who I am, because of who he says that I am. So as we walk, we get to walk in that freedom and liberation from our sin and death that so entangled us. But now it has no hold. That we can be like David. We can dance. We can sing. We can praise him and rejoice in his suffering for us. So praise Yahweh. So just wanted to share that was what the message the Lord had put on my heart today. And wanted to open up the mic for a little bit. It's 11:20 and we're good on time, I think. And if somebody has anything they would like to share along those lines. Joshua, can I get a mic? Chase, do you want to get a mic? Greg has a mic right there. Thank you, Lord.
Hello? Hey, there I am. Oh, he had the same opinion of David, you know, same conclusion to his life. Okay, I'm trying to stay on. There we go. In 1 Kings 15, verse 5, well, 4 and 5, it says, "But for the sake of David, Yahweh gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up his son after him and by preserving Jerusalem." Verse 5 says, "For David did what was right in the Lord's sight. He did not turn aside from anything he had commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." I mean, there's that time he had his men carry the Ark of the Covenant the wrong way, which, you know, caused some people to die. And, you know, he numbered the people of Israel, and 70,000 people died as a result. And there's some other things. But Yahweh's conclusion of his life was one thing he didn't obey me in. I don't know how he summed up that way, but he did. Yahweh sees it differently than the way we do. He's a lot more merciful and a lot more gentle in his judgment and how he sums up our entire life than, you know, we will be. You know, so to me, that's incredibly encouraging.
Miraculous, actually. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, agree. It's good, Josh and Ed. One thought, and this is kind of a question, but more of a, as well for the group, because Psalms 18, my understanding is that it was written before Bathsheba, see? And so that, it, when Psalms 18 represents him as a younger man, and here, we, you know, we think the really big ones, right? And so, just FYI, it floors me of who Yahweh is. And really, it's, I'll just say it this way, all a lot of my adulthood, I came to the know of the Lord when I was 17, is I always heard that David was a man after Yahweh's heart. And that's true. And but I heard even something deeper, is that he wanted what Yahweh wanted. You know, we pray that, you know, not my will, but your will be done. To want what Yahweh wanted in relationship to the words that you wrote on the board, it brings it into perspective. And so I have always felt and known, like, think David is a type of the bride. He's type and shadow of the bride in that his righteousness is Christ. You see, it's his life is Christ, and he wanted what Yahweh wanted, and Yahweh wants that bride for Yeshua, pure and spotless, nothing of herself. And he had, it was revealed to him, because he's that prophetic voice at the time of where we are now. And that's the way he does it. Yahweh reveals to us what we should have had and could have had, but what we do have now, and where we could say, here's what it was and how horrible it is, but I no longer am that because of the one who lives in me. So, anyway, just.
It occurred to me as you were speaking and reading the scripture that David was able to do what most of us struggle with. And he was able to receive the forgiveness that came with his repentance. And not only just receive it, know that he was washed white as snow, but that he walked in that. And he didn't continually drag it behind him, what he had done before, and let that influence what he did today. And I think that's a big struggle that we have in the, it's a little bit of what the Lord is showing me in the scriptures that I'm going to share, is how we struggle with that. So much of what we struggle with is from our past, that we cannot receive the cleansing of the blood in the way that it was poured out. It was poured out for that purpose. And how that hinders us becoming the bride of Christ and being pure and spotless, we say we want to be clean. We know that that's true, but we don't act it out and receive it. We continue to walk with the spot and with the blemish and with, and so how can we be a pure, spotless bride without coming into that understanding of truly leaving behind our past, letting the blood, you know, what we're saying really is the blood wasn't enough. You know, that his saying that I suffered for you, that my blood is all it takes to cover that sin that you did, no matter what it was, we're saying, gosh, I must need more because I'm still carrying it in my hands, you know. So it's a hard thing. It's a hard walk that we have to do. But it really is, David is the example, because he's talking about himself. I mean, like, he's just cool and great. And we're going, wait, what about, you know. And but he knew the Lord. He had the heart of the Lord, knew the Lord's heart. Like you guys are saying, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. And you can take that. He was either, the Lord saw David and knew that he was a man who shared his heart, his desire for the same things that the Lord had, or he was chasing after God so much that he wanted to grab his heart. Either way you look at it, he got it, and he walked in it, and he lived it out, and he accepted the consequences. There were consequences, but destruction and going into the grave was not one of them. And we just struggle so with that. And I just, Lord, help us. Help us let it go in the way that you mean, and not to, not only for ourselves, but to not keep calling up somebody else's stuff. You know, it's a hard, we're just a broken bunch of people, or broken bunch of broken people, as our leader Danny says. So anyway.
Just real quick, Dorothy, I want to just, on that, just real quick, you brought up something that I've really taken to heart from the Heart of Forgiveness Conference, and you had said not to, like, I'm going to use the word recall or replay an offense. Yes. And because the Lord has forgiven that person, so what am I doing with that? And oh my gosh, sometimes that can be a real sticking point where we get a trigger from something that happens that may not even be the person that is doing it right now or whatever, but it triggers something to where then all of a sudden we replay an offense from somebody else or whatnot and recall. But the Lord wants us to be able to have the freedom and liberate that person from us holding them accountable. God doesn't. That's between them and the Lord, or he does or he doesn't, but that's not my business. And so that place of, I just want to come alongside that, because honestly, it's haughtiness. Mm-hmm. I know it. It's been a struggle of mine. So it's like a place of haughtiness, accusation, and replay and recall what was wrong and what happened that shouldn't have happened. And yet, wait, shouldn't it have? Well, if it shouldn't have, then God wouldn't have allowed it, because he allows for me to draw me closer to him, to come in low. So thank you, Lord.
And piggybacking on your conversation about that, not too long ago I was asking the Lord, I was having one of those recall deal moments. And finally, in exasperation, I said, "Dear Lord, how in the world, how do you see me?" And I got very quiet. And then he told me, he says, "Oh my, I see you in perfection. Remember, I'm outside of time. I see you already perfected. I've already see you glorified. You're in the sanctification process now, but I already," to piggyback on that, David got it. He got it, and I want to get it, you know, so that I can live out and glorify the Lord. But that was such a beautiful thing. It made me come to tears, and it's like, oh, thank you, Lord, that you see me that way, but I like to see me that way, you know, and one day you shall. And so I just, my favorite thing with the Lord is, and I almost hear him chuckle, "Lord, you know, next to seeing your face, you know what my most favorite thing I can't wait for, and when I get there with you?" And he goes, "What is your most favorite thing, Dorothy?" "That I no longer sin in thought, word, or deed, that we are pure. I can't wait for that day. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
And I find it amazing that David, in his time, they had to offer up animals and everything else for forgiveness. We just need to sit and quietly ask the Lord for forgiveness. And yet David got it. I'm amazed.
Huge, huge point.
That was good. I've often, is this on? Okay, because I can't hear it. I've often had issues with the blessings I haven't received in life. You know, like I have no descendants, you know, and that bothers me. And when I go before the Lord, he tells me, I've made it easier for you to release things and people to me because you have less to release. He turns everything to good. So...
Turn me off. So, you know, we didn't know until, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday morning that we were even going to gather. Because, you know, with so many people gone, you know, it's easy to go, well, let's just stick it off. And so we prayed, Al and I prayed, you prayed. We didn't really hear a resounding yes or a resounding no. So that means we get to choose. And so it was an opportunity for us to choose to gather together, to intercede and to just share, because there's lots of people that are here. I mean, we have more people here today than we often have when the whole farm is present. So that's nice. But so the Lord has something for us today, and that was wonderful about our identity, about partnering with what the Lord gave Rhonda to share. So all week long, I've just been asking the Lord, because I knew since Monday that, you know, we would or wouldn't get together. But I just kept hearing John 17, John 17, John 17. And actually until earlier this morning, I had no idea why and how it would fit in, but it fits in with, and I'm not going to go through the entire chapter, it's called the High Priestly Prayer. It's Yeshua's prayer to the Father. He starts in John 13. He knows that his time has come. He's met with his disciples. They're having dinner together. It's the Last Supper, what we call it. They didn't call it that, but we do. And they're going to share together, and Yeshua begins to pour out his heart over these men and their imperfection and their sin. And they haven't really got a clue. I mean, they know who he is, kind of. They've heard the words, but it's not in their minds and hearts. Yet who he is, and they have no idea where they're going to go. They have no idea of this outpouring. They're still struggling with the idea that there's going to be a political solution to their problems. The Romans are going to go that way, and we're going to be top dogs again. Basically, that's what they were hoping for, because they didn't have a view, a vision for what the Lord was talking about, really. And that's hard to understand, but we don't always have a vision of what the Lord is doing either, so we can't really take the high road there. But anyway, this great high priestly prayer, and then I started thinking and praying about he's a great high priest, it says in Hebrews, after the order of Melchizedek. Well, who's Melchizedek? Well, then that goes to Genesis 14:15. So I'd encourage you to go there and just read. He was actually the king of Salem. But it says in Hebrews, fleshes that out a little bit, that in Hebrews, he had, Hebrews 7, I think, he had no beginning, he had no end, he had no genealogy. So, must be a type and shadow, you think? And so, and then Abraham in Genesis comes and he pays him 10% of all the spoils that he's collected.
And so how did Abraham know to do that? Well, I don't know, because it was before the law and the tithes and all that had been instituted. So somehow it was communicated on some level to Abraham. He knew to do that. To this guy, not all the rest of them. And so so we have that example. And then in Hebrews is so filled with, Hebrews 7 especially, contrasts the priesthood of Melchizedek with the Levitical priesthood. For those that are not Jewish and don't have that taught in throughout their lifetime, it's a great chapter. I love Hebrews anyway. Hebrews 4 then says that we have a great high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, he's sympathetic. We have a sympathetic, pure priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and all of our temptations. He was tempted like we were, but he didn't sin. So it is possible to be tempted and not sin, because he's our model. Now, most of us don't do that, but we can. And over time, as we try hard enough in our own efforts, we could sometimes do it. But when we live after the priesthood of Melchizedek, the Holy Spirit comes and helps us. And we don't do it by works, and we don't do it by efforts, and we don't do it by a false sacrifice and trying to be good enough. We do it by the Holy Spirit, who comes to empower us. And so there are two priesthoods. And so which one are we part of? Well, we're part of the priesthood of Melchizedek, because we have the Yeshua living inside of us. We don't have the Levitical priesthood anymore. We are not part of that. But in what you were sharing today, and what we were just sharing about David, we do that. We receive forgiveness through this priestly sacrifice of his blood, and then we step over into the Levitical priesthood and say, whew, I'm going to do better. You know, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to do better, and I'm going to get bigger, and I'm going to get this, and I'm not going low, and I'm not falling in love with that sacrifice that makes me acceptable to the Lord Yeshua and to the Father. That's my eternity, is after that order of Melchizedek. The priesthood of Yeshua, where he pours everything he has into these few men. He poured everything he has into us while we were yet sinners. While the world hated him, he poured it all out. And so we get to live like that. We get to choose which priesthood we're going to live after. We're not going to step over, I hope. The bride is not of the Levitical priesthood. It is not. And we are not going to win the day by measuring ourselves under that. But we do it, you know, so much. So I felt like what he's having me share is to give you these scriptures, first of all, Genesis 14:15, John 17, and encourage you really to go 13 through 17. And then Hebrews 4:15, and Hebrews 7, the whole chapter. And then everywhere else it leads you, you know, because we still war with that need to be perfect, with that need to earn it by works and not by the blood of the Lamb and not by faith. So I just encourage all of us to step into this, to study this, and see, and be aware. You know, and I do it myself all the time, or I do it to my poor husband, you know. Well, I remember that time, you know, if we fight. We don't fight. And we don't fight much anymore anyway. We always had cold wars. But when the time came for the emotion to pop up, it was always, I remember when you had that blue plaid shirt on and you did this and that, and it was Tuesday, December 12th. You know, talk about record. And then that leads to accusation and stuff like that. Now, we don't do that anymore because we've learned that it's so unproductive, for one thing. But, you know, we don't want to do that anymore. We want to live out 56 years of being together with some little bit of grace. But it's all by him. We do know that by now. It's only by him that we've endured that long. So we do it with our fellow man. You were talking about doing it over offenses. We gather up these offenses and we pull them out when they're necessary. And really what we're doing, I'm just going to say this, we don't think they've suffered enough for what they've done wrong. So we're going to bring it up. And we're going to bring it up.
and we want them to feel really bad about what they did so that they'll make us feel better when they break. And that is the devil. I'm just telling you, that's the devil. And when we're having this conference coming up, I'm going to share some testimonies around God encounters, but the one that I've shared many times is regarding my daughter-in-law. And for those of you who heard that before, I hope you don't get bored with it, but what the Lord showed me in that rehearsing her ways that she was hurting us, I thought I was doing it for the sake of my family members who were the targets. Well, what the Lord showed me, he intervened, he interrupted me, and said, this is what you're doing. And I had a picture, and I was at the feet of the enemy, and all of my thoughts and all of my blame was handing things over to him. He was then relaying that to the Father in the courtroom. I was helping the accuser accuse, and it was delaying her salvation. It was making me partner with the enemy and not Yeshua, and I was terrified. I was terrified that I would not be allowed back into the presence of the Lord. So that's what it's like. It was very dramatic, but that's the truth. We are partnering with the enemy when we point out everybody's wrongdoing. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times when we have a conviction and we get to help people come to that, but most of the time it's just for us. And that is so prideful, so self-centered. And I'm beginning to learn to practice catching that thought. And Heart of Forgiveness really helped with some of that. Because it wasn't that we don't have to agree 100% with different people or what they teach. But there, I wanted to grab those truths out of that and apply it to my life. And so we're beginning to do that, beginning to learn how to do that. Whoop, that's not right. Lord, what do you have to say? Lord, what is it? Just capturing that thought, taking it in my hand and laying it before the Lord. Because that's what it says. Take every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. We don't just take the thought captive and hang on to it till a more opportune time. It's give it to the Lord. And that means everybody. It's not just other believers. Because when we accuse people that aren't believers, how ridiculous is that? Because they aren't believers. They're doing what unbelievers do. So why are we bringing that up to them? They don't have any means or any power or any way to change. Not really. And even if we can talk to them and get them to change their behavior, we haven't changed their heart. And that's what the Lord is going for, is their heart. So all of this is just to bring before you that we have two priesthoods. Choose this day which one you're going to walk in, because it's the truth of where we are. We are after the Lord, and he is all about glorifying the Father in this whole chapter. Glorify me along with you. Restore me to the majesty that I had before the world existed. He was always there. He always knew. He knew what he was doing and where he was going, and yet he takes the time to pour out to these men everything that he has. And he didn't hold anything back. And he steps from there into the garden where it's solidified. His final choice is made, where he accepts the will of the Father. Knows that he's going to, but Lord, one final plea, Lord, is there another way? And he knows there's not another way. So he goes to that and he accepts it. Right up to the cross where he knows they're all going to abandon him. John comes back, you know, and takes custody of his mother. What a tender thing that is for him to think of his mother, you know, at that time. So he is our great high priest who endured everything for us and will help us with everything. So receive him and walk with him and stand with him and see the difference between the old priesthood, who he wasn't even part of. He wasn't even part of that priesthood. The Lord Yahweh took him clear out of that. And that's where we are. So thank you, Father.
We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you that we're here in this place where we can speak freely, where we can speak freely and share who you are. And Lord, I just ask that you would help each one of us press into who you are, to your character, to all the places in Scripture where you share with us who you are and who the Father is and what the Holy Spirit's purpose is and where we're headed. Wow. You're talking about, Dorothy was sharing about, not sinning again in thought, word, or deed. And I just think, man, I long for not having this body. Everything we do every day has to do with our body. We eat, we sleep, we work, we buy clothes, we clean. It takes up so much time. What in the world are we going to do when we don't have that? Wow, what a thought. And we don't have sin dragging on our ankles all the time. So, gee, it's going to be so exciting. And I'm going to know you after the Spirit. And I'm going to know you and Nadine after the Spirit. We're going to know each other after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Ah, what a thing to look forward to. We can't understand it. We can't grasp it. It says that. It says it's beyond anything we can think or imagine. And boy, we can think of a lot of things and imagine quite a bit. But beyond that, we can't even see it yet. So, Lord, I thank you for all of that. Thank you for all of that. Thank you for the blood and the wine and the bread and the flesh and how we get to take that today to represent you. In Genesis 14, Melchizedek brings out the wine, the bread, to nourish Abraham. What a picture that is, What a forerunner. And here we get to do it today. Thousands of years later, we get to do it for the same reason. So we remember him and who he is and what he did. And that we can't do it. We just cannot do it on our own. So, Father, we thank you for this community. We thank you for all that you're doing for Rhonda and the team there, for Danny's covering over her. We thank you, Father, for Fred and Barb, for all that you're doing, for their honor, their service, Lord. We thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, we just need you. We need you. So, Father, now as we receive communion today, we just remember that sacrifice, and we remember the redemption available to us through the blood. And I ask that you bring to our remembrance the reason for it, the fact that we can't do it, the fact that the old method of sacrifice couldn't do it, that you did it. And we love you, Father. We thank you. We pray in your name. Amen. So does anybody want to help with communion? Just a couple people. Do it. Dee? Yep. Dee and Todd. Yay.
Thank you, Cindy. As Cindy was talking right there. Sorry. Okay, great. Excellent. Yeah. While Cindy was talking right there, I was just thinking, circle back and be sure that I was clear on something. The dismayment, if you will, that I had in reading Here's David in making these declarations and proclamations over who he is was, first of all, like, wait, what? But then it was going to the deeper thing, and I want to make sure that we don't miss this point. Exactly what Cindy just said. It's so beautiful. And what Colleen said, that we don't have to sacrifice lambs, that we don't have to continually go to that place of the past. I love what you just said. And I love it, the order of Melchizedek. I've been studying Hebrews lately. I've been totally loving it. Just, I can't get out of it hardly. And also, interestingly enough, I'm like going over to, I was reading 1st and 2nd Samuel and Hebrews and then Genesis and what have you. And everywhere you look, he was there. Yeshua was always there. And it blows me away. How did David know that? He knew it because in the humble place where you have to go to the place where you can't face this battle, you can't face this war, you can't face this cancer, you can't do anything about your circumstances. I believe that in those places, his sin was exposed and it was called out by, was Abel, Nathan? Yeah, Nathan the prophet called it out. And he called it for exactly what it was. And he was naked and bare before the Lord. And in that place, oh God, what have I done? And I sinned. And calling upon the Lord to cover that sin. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to wait till next year at the time we sacrifice the lamb. I will confess that. But it is now is the opportunity for us to confess our sins because he's faithful and just and that he will do away with it. So it was just a beautiful understanding that I came to in reading that, where I went to that place of, listen to this man. I'm that man. You're that man. You're that woman. We are those that have the same proclamation and declaration as David has. Do we know it? What you're saying, do we know it? I love that. It's so powerful. A matter of the most powerful word in the whole wide universe. The grace that abounds. And so we're invited to have that same grace over each other and over ourselves that the Lord has for us. I love it that he sees you in the glorified state, Dorothy. And he sees you in the glorified state, all of us in the glorified state that we're, he sees us in the completion. Thank you, Yahweh. Al's going to do communion. Thank you, Al.
Cindy Y., the lovely Cindy Y., mentioned earlier the Last Supper. But they didn't know it was the Last Supper. Yeshua knew what was happening and why, and he was willing to do that and go through everything. Even though the human part of him wondered, Lord, why have you forsaken me on the cross? But that's his human part. He's fully God. This expression of the Father that people can relate to. And he's fully God. The Son of the Father. Never created, always was, and always will be. And so he was trying to explain, and he did in so many words to the disciples, that indeed this was the Last Supper. I'm going to go here pretty soon. But he talked to them for hours, telling them what's going to happen. The Comforter will come, among other things. And I'm going to go, and you can't go with me, but I'll come back for you. Explained all that stuff over several hours, but the disciples still had no idea that it was literally his Last Supper. He died the next day. Yeshua knew it and willingly did it, as I said. And so part of that dinner under Jewish tradition was to have unleavened bread at that dinner. It was the Passover, and Yeshua knew how to celebrate that. And I won't go into all that symbolism because we could be here for hours listening to me, and that's not why you came. So according to the gospel, at that Last Supper, Yeshua took bread, and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat, all of you. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. He wanted us to remember. Yahweh gave us a memory. He gave us an imagination. That's where the memory lives. We remember what he did, and that's important to do. And so that's why we do this. We don't have to go through hours of Yeshua explaining this. He left his word for us. We can look at that anytime we want to. And so when we gather, it's tradition to share communion, and that's what we're doing today. Communion is getting together, being in one, union. Come, union. common union, all of us together in the same mind. So we do this in remembrance of him and what he did, and we take the bread. Hi, Maria. Maria always runs when I talk to her. Maybe I should soften my voice a little. Maybe I could talk a little softer instead of saying, hi, Maria. When the supper was ended, Yeshua took the cup filled with wine, blessed it, and passed it to his disciples and said, take and drink, all of you. This is my blood. And that's symbolic of the blood that he's about to shed on the cross. They had no clue, but we have more understanding because of Yeshua and the covenant he made that night with his entire church over all time. For the forgiveness of sins, he willingly shed his blood. And so he said, do this in remembrance of me. And so we do. Hi, Maria. Thank you for coming today, and we hope to see you again. We all live in the same place here on the farm, almost, 400 acres? Almost 400 acres to romp around in. It's a large farm, Lee, and we're not even all here today. So, bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. In my imagination, I wondered, because I'm one of those people that ask why, and what does this mean, and things like that. And so, if the Lord is lifting up his countenance to you, countenance is his face, and he has to be lower than you to lift up his face to you and look at you. Why would the King of Kings and Lord of Lords be lower than us? Because he's willing to come and wash our dirty feet. He's willing to give his life so we can be reconciled to the Father, his Father, and spend all that eternity with him. Bless all of y'all.
Just one more thing. We got a all-farm message. I don't know if everybody's seen it, but Barb's in ICU at the Lee Summit Hospital. And Fred said that she will be there until she stabilizes a little more. So I think her injuries that she suffered were a little more intense than we knew. So anyway, he didn't say exactly why she's there, but yeah. So we just add to our prayers for them, and then when she's stable, she's going to go to a regular room possibly today, and then on to another care facility. So yeah.